All right. Hey, everyone. It's art prof teaching artist Deepti Menon here, and I'm joined with art prof teaching artist Alex Rowe. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are doing a stream on caricatures in Procreate and gouache. If you're looking to strengthen and flex your art muscle, art prof is the community for you. We have tutorials, critiques, and more, and it's all for free. All right, so just so you guys know, I will be doing the work in Procreate on the left and Alex will be working on the right. And the first artist we're gonna do is Riz Ahmed, who is over here on both of our screens. These are actually all Oscar nominees that we are drawing since it's timely. If you guys would like to draw along, the links to the reference photos are in the YouTube description below, and we'd love to see your work and draw along with us since it's so fun. So let's just jump right into it. Alex, do you have a process for how you are approaching these portraits?
Yeah, I'm kind of just like with all of them, starting out with that big shape I want to do for the head, and then slowly kind of placing and mapping out where the rest of the features go. And what's tricky, which I'm curious about your method with this as well, since we're doing caricature, like not necessarily going for that photorealism, but more so exaggerating those features. How do you take that extra challenge in it?
It's interesting. I think with caricatures, it's like a fine balance of finding the likeness, but also finding the like ways of exaggerating. So I'm trying to think of like what I find interesting in his body. One thing that I'm noticing is like his really large muscles and like torso, and then he has kind of this square shaped face, and I don't know, for some reason I feel like he kind of has a pea-sized head compared to how giant his body is. So I think I'm gonna like really exaggerate his muscular body and give him a tiny head, but also not super tiny because I want to be able to give him some features while I'm also, you know.
Yeah. I think the thing that, like, the muscles are super distracting. Like, eyes, too, are, like, so big and sparkly, especially in this image. Like, they almost have, like, a deer in the headlights look, so I kind of want to... Also, that's just like me and my style shining through. Like, when in doubt, let's make the eyes pretty big. So,
that's a great thing to know about yourself, that you have that like style. I think my approach with this caricature is just to do like something really rough first off, and to just play around with those things we said. Like, he has these, I don't know my anatomy well enough, but these like shoulder muscle areas. Yeah. And he also has a really interesting kind of like beady eye frown going on. This is Riz Ahmed, and he is nominated for his performance in the movie Sound of Metal for an Oscar. And so he looks very like concentrated. I believe he's drumming. He's a drummer. So I'm like, I want to capture that kind of like beady-eyed concentration as well.
I'm curious, I have not seen this movie yet, but I really want to, because I've heard, do you want me to spoil like the little, like the plot point of what it's about for the screen? Yeah, I never know. So everyone plug your ears if you don't want to hear like the concept. Basically, he's like a heavy metal drummer who starts to lose his sense of hearing.
That's not a spoiler. That's like the...
Well, so for me, I like to go into movies like dead cold 9 times out of 10. I'm like, I don't know if it's a comedy or horror movie. I just want to see something unknown.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the kind of movie where, if I'm honest, like I love them normally, but something about, I don't know if it's pandemic or just like season of life or whatever, but it's like seems too emotionally heavy for me to handle now, you know? Like it doesn't a good way to relax. But it sounds beautiful.
It does, yeah. And I think he's a very talented actor, so.
Oh my god, yeah. Even in like, I think the first role I saw him in was like the smallest role in the Star Wars movie. He just brought so much life to like an otherwise like fairly minor character.
He's in the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, which I think he is brilliant in.
oh, that's the one where he's Jake Gyllenhaal like has a camera, right?
Yes, he's like a kind of not great, Jake Gyllenhaal is a not great media news guy, and he hires Riz to be like his assistant kind of character, and yeah, it's quite an interesting movie, and Riz plays a very, very interesting character, and I really liked his performance in that.
Sweet. Yeah, I was one of the crowd who was disappointed that movie was not about the X-Men Nightcrawler.
That's funny.
But I've heard it's good. I think part of me just didn't see it out of spite.
You should watch it. I would recommend you watch it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really interested in his eyes and his eye shape. I'm trying to like nail this shape down, and I feel like he has kind of like close together beady eyes. Dara is asking, have Deepti and Alex met in real life? We have met in real life. Alex, did we overlap at all in school? I don't know if we did.
I don't know if we did either. If we did, it would have been just, so I graduated in 2013. How about you?
I graduated 16. So you were a senior when I was a freshman then. So we probably didn't really overlap.
And also my senior year was by far the least social year. So that makes sense.
But we have met because of our prof. We've done some shoots together and had some fun little sleepovers together. And yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait for the eventual Utah vacation.
That is the dream.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, now the pencil's finally done. So we're getting into that good old underpainting.
Neil is saying, Alex, there are so many colors. How can I imagine how can I manage the temptation of those beautiful colors, especially since gouache looks so yummy? I'm tempted to get new colors, even though I'm broke. Alex, thoughts?
That's such a real thing. I think what helps, honestly, is the best quality of gouache, in my opinion, is that you don't need to clean your palette. You can keep it with all the colors you've got on it, basically, until they run out. If you keep them clean, you can just rehydrate them. So part of it is just let yourself into that temptation where if you're painting something and you just want to kind of throw a speck of green in there just because, you can just do it because it's already ready on your palette. Yeah, I think honestly the best advice I have about like wanting to buy more colors even though you're broke is just don't go to the art supply store until you're not broke.
That's great advice.
I head in there and I'm like, I just need more pencil lead. That's all I need. And then I leave with a color that I don't need.
Dara wants to know, what's Alex doing with the brush now?
Ooh, right now I'm doing the very soft kind of underpainting. And since I'm viewing this more as like a study. So I'm really quickly trying to just block in those shadows. Like in this picture especially, there's that really intense direct light on him and that shadow on the side of his face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have lost our signal quickly. I think that is because Clara has dipped out, but that is okay. We will be back in a second. I know that Clara, I actually see that she's back. So we will be up and running in just a second.
Just enough time for me to switch
up. Here we are.
Painting than mine.
Imagine if we like were gone for a second and we came back and the thing was just like beautiful and completely changed. It was like all planned, like switched
up. I had the forethought to like set up that joke, like to do a painting to practice beforehand. And be like, eh, it takes a couple hours to make. Luckily, I have one coming out of the oven right now.
Oh, this whole thing. No, I just whipped it up in the past 2 seconds.
Okay, and I think what I'm going to be doing next actually is a little bit of dabbing this with a paper towel, which I'm not saying I don't do it all the time, but I think I definitely put a little bit too much water down for this underpainting part. And so rather than just waiting for that to dry, I'm kind of eager to get started.
Jackie is asking, I'm still figuring out how Procreate works. Me too. Can you give me more information about how you approach this drawing? Which brush do you use? How do you use layers? Sure. So I'm kind of a noob at Procreate, but I've learned a lot from Kat and Jordan. I have been using the 6B pencil brush, which you see over here. And I find that I like that one because it's really soft, so I can get a lot of darks in and a lot of nice, like, lighter tones too. I mean, you can play with the opacity as well, but I like to use, because I'm more of a traditional artist, like I draw with an actual pencil, I like to use something that mimics that to the best of its abilities. So this is the pencil that I find works the best. My recommendation for you would just be to play around with what they give you. And you should definitely tune into a stream that Jordan is on because he is the Procreate master and can definitely give you some more tips with that. But like, just play around and see what fits with your needs. And I think that would help. When it comes to layers, I try to use a new layer for every new step. So right now I'm kind of doing a pencil outline with a little bit of shading, and I think of that as one. But if I were to add some maybe color, or I were to go over this to make a more defined pencil outline, I would do a new layer. So I kind of just think of it as like, if I were to use layers of tracing paper on traditional media, how I would use that, how they would come into play. But again, everyone is their, you know, is their own artist and however it works for you. I remember I was doing a stream on master copies with Jordan, and he was telling me that he uses as few layers as possible, and I was doing the opposite, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Clara is going to reformat Alex's cropping, so I'm going to switch to our faces really quick. That sounds good to me. And yeah, I really, like, going back to the Procreate, like, conversation, I think it's kind of a scary medium to use at first, but once you just start exploring, which being on these streams has let me do, which has been awesome, you just find the rhythm and the way it works for you, and yeah. I really love Procreate. Do you use much of it, Alex?
I am so excited to try it out one day. yeah, because there's a really good friend of mine in Houston, actually, and she does a lot of traditional media. And she has been raving about how Procreate is so close to echoing what that sensation is like. Like a little bit what you were talking about, how you're a traditional mediaist. Is that a phrase? At heart. And so it kind of speaks to that muscle.
Neftali is saying, for Alex, what made you want to try gouache as your painting medium?
That's actually a weirdly funny answer because I wanted to try it, honest to goodness, because everyone said it was so hard. honestly, that was the main thing that made me want to try it out. And I was just really lucky to have classes that were specifically focused on watercolor and gouache with a professor I really connected with. And it became like my chosen media of choice. And yeah, definitely that kind of thing where I get the sense like I could use gouache for the rest of my life and not get bored with it.
I think that's important. Once you find the medium that works for you, it's like you fall in love, kind of.
Yeah. I don't remember the first tube of gouache paint I got, but
that would be funny if you did. Sure. If you like still had it framed on your wall. Seven Angelic is asking, I was wondering if Alex is I was wondering if Alex was going to wet on wet for the whole thing, or I don't know, pull out a hairdryer.
Oh, okay. That's such a good question. So when I'm painting by my lonesome, I do have a hairdryer, but I figured all y'all would not want to hear the whir of a hairdryer as we're doing this, so I opted out of it. But yeah, honestly, that is something like I couldn't recommend highly enough for a gouache or watercolor painter. Just plug in that good old hairdryer right next to your studio space. And not only does it speed up drawing time, if you want to get really exciting with it, you can play around with the force of the air dry to kind of affect the look of how it dries. You know, you can direct the flow of water.
That's really cool. It's like almost like drip painting, kind of like playing with gravity.
Yeah.
Neil is saying, Alex, any tips for achieving clean, flat shapes with gouache? My gouache paintings tend to be more loose and painterly. I want to try to do more graphic stuff, but I find it hard.
That's a great question, because I think gouache attracts people because of its ability to get really graphic. You have to apply it thickly. So right now, you can see I'm applying it so thinly, it's practically watercolor even. But when we get later on in the session, you'll see I almost go from like big globs of it smack on, and that has a very crisp, clean final effect to it, which is much different than this kind of painterly wet look to it. And if you're mixing those colors, it's really important that you mix enough. Because like all things, you can't really replicate it when you're halfway through. I'm really excited to get to his hair, because it's like, we can play and make it like lime green, neon yellow. You know? Yeah.
We have a super chat from Jill. Thank you so very much for the super chat. It really helps keep Art Prof free and accessible to everyone for as long as possible. So thank you so much, Jill. Yeah, his hair looks really, really fried in this, which is interesting. Sometimes I wonder if I would be willing to do that.
Yeah, I bleached my hair once. I just didn't like the way it felt, you know? It felt burnt, destroyed. It was a weird feeling.
I did too. I bleached my hair and then I dyed it bright purple, which was like a double whammy of attack on my head. And it looked really cool, but it definitely got a little dry. Although I have pretty strong hair, so I was able to take it. Dara is asking, is Alex still doing underpainting, or is he doing middle painting or real painting now?
That's such a good way to phrase it. I am what I affectionately call underpainting part two, where it's like kind of layer upon layer. So at this point, yeah, it's like, it's definitely not crisp enough to be what I'd call the real painting end. But as you can see, it's definitely further along than that basic blocking out of shapes. I'm starting to kind of incorporate different colors. And honestly, this is how I like to gouache paint. Having that pencil sketch I did at the beginning still be a little loose. Because I kind of like to paint as if I'm drawing at the beginning, which, I don't know, I hope that makes sense. You know, where I'm not quite like paint by numbers, you know?
That makes sense, yeah. W315 is saying, Alex, do you struggle with pet hair floating into your painting wells?
If you can see closely, there's actually a couple pet hairs kind of lingering around here, some that I've scraped out. Yeah, every painting I've made since I got my dog has had some dog hair in it.
How long have you had this lovely dog?
Oh, I got her in 18? No, six. Wow, time is weird. I've had her for like almost 4 years. No,
Lou is saying, Alex, can we hear your inner dialogue as you're painting? What are you thinking of? How much do you thin the gouache for the underpainting?
I'll start in reverse order. I thin the gouache a lot for the underpainting. I want to get it as like light as almost like watercolor. Really playing off like that thing I live by where like watercolor is transparent gouache and vice versa. So I want to make the gouache as transparent as I can at the beginning. Honestly, my inner monologue and what I say to myself when I'm painting is a lot of like doop 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 beep boop boop, like robot noises. I just can't help it.
At least your inner monologue isn't like you being mean to yourself. That's good. A lot of people's inner monologues is like, this isn't good enough.
Oh yeah, and not anymore. But yeah, I replaced being mean to myself with robot noises.
A really good trade, in my opinion.
100%. You gotta replace those mantras.
We have a comment from HT Poke Pack saying, I've never tried gouache, but I really want to. Is it like a hybrid between watercolor and acrylic or no?
Ooh. I think that's a misconception about gouache, but it's easy to get that thought because it is slightly thicker than watercolor. But it does operate almost exactly like watercolor. So the key thing, and there is a medium called acrylic gouache, which I personally can't stand. but I've seen people use it to great effect, and they love it and swear by it. Yeah, I'd say watercolor or gouache is just a thicker, more opaque watercolor.
I love all your little boops and Have you tried painting with gouache on site, like a plein air painting, Alex? Neil is asking.
Ooh, I did. The last one I did of those was back when I was living in Colorado. Just brought a small set. I honestly was not prepared, so it didn't turn out quite as well as I would like.
Mm.
It's something I definitely want to get back into, though. It's like a whole different world, though, from having like a whole studio set up. I mean, it sounds obvious to say, but I was like, oh, wow, this is completely different than painting inside. So
definitely there's like a level of comfort that you lose because you're not used to like the wind and all of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, wind, like getting dust and dirt in the painting, light changing, like... Didn't realize how slow I painted until I tried to draw something that wasn't moving, you know?
All right, I'm going to actually move on to another one since I'm doing quicker caricatures. While Alex is going to keep working on Riz for the whole stream, so I'm going to say goodbye to beautiful Riz. And perhaps I will do... This is Chloe Zhao, I believe is her name, and she directed Nomadland, which is up for an Oscar. She's got the Best Director nom, which is very cool, and I've heard wonderful things about that movie. Have you watched it, Alex?
No, I want to. It's, you know, sad news time. There's a historic movie theater in Houston closing down, and that's the last movie they're going to be showing. So,
wow.
100% I want to catch it for that. But it looks like a beautiful trip.
Natalia is saying, Alex, have you used gouache for mixed media? If so, has it added something to your art supply arsenal?
Oh, yeah. I love using, I guess saying watercolor and gouache is kind of like a cheat mixed media because I think they're so similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done some paintings where they're gouache and then I cover it with an acrylic varnish and then I paint acrylic on top of it. And it's exciting because all of this kind of starts to bleed a little bit under the varnish, which is can be kind of exciting if you want to play around with that.
What I really love about Chloe, this character. Oh, I just want to give a huge shout out to Jackie. Thank you so much for this super chat. That is, again, incredible. We really appreciate it. I was gonna say that I love Chloe's long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that she has the iconic director's hat on.
Yes.
So I'm like, those are two things that I want to focus on with her caricature. So there's her head. Slepnir is saying, is there a danger to applying gouache too thick?
There is. It can lead to cracking, and it's of course very, very hard to paint under it, or over it, I mean. So yeah, that's a danger that to definitely be looking out for. Especially depending on some, actually I can show you here. Ooh. So this is a clump of Van Dyke Brown. And when it dries, it kind of segments like this, so it becomes like a rock. So if I were to just squirt Van Dyke Brown on this and let it dry, bits of it would crumble off. So you have to be kind of aware of what the different pigments will do. But overall, I'd say no real danger.
Neil is saying, does gouache paint exist in cakes too?
Cakes. There is a new company that makes them, and they look like little jelly snacks. Kind of fun. But yeah, those exist.
That sounds super fun.
Yeah, they look really tasty. Let's see here.
Certainly is saying, I always thought of gouache as a slow, meticulous medium, but Alex seems to be getting down to it. Yeah, definitely. I agree. I've used gouache maybe a handful of times in my life, mostly when I was in school, and I used it very differently than you're using it. So it's kind of cool to see your process.
It's definitely I think gouache is one of those where a lot of ways that it's taught is very like one way. Like, and that's what I keep trying to remember with art prop. This is like, yeah, somebody could use gouache completely differently than me and be extremely successful with it, you know? I think it's an underrated flexible medium.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good lesson for like all media, like even, I don't know. Yeah, it's just like all media is whatever you make of it. Like, it doesn't have to be anything really, unless you want it to be that thing. Bless you.
Oh, thank you.
Allergy season. Yep. Blue is asking, is the light for the stream drying the gouache out as you paint? Oh, that's a good question.
Ooh. You know, it's really funny. It's actually not. Working with now like a nicer kind of daylight studio light, which is funny. It's not providing a lot of warmth, which is cool. There is a funny thing though, like as far as drying the gouache, here in Houston, it's very humid. Thankfully not today as much, but honestly that makes gouache dry slower when I'm painting with it. Versus like most recently, Colorado is very dry and arid in the air. So gouache, it takes a while for it to dry. Isn't that fun?
It's cool. Gouache is actually what animators used to use on cell paintings and like the traditional like old like cartoons that you see that were like hand painted on like cells. That's like what it used to be, which is like super duper cool.
Yeah, I remember I saw one of those shells. What are they called? Cells, you said?
Cells, yeah, cells.
I saw one in a garage sale once. It was a small scene from the old Ewok cartoon show that they made in like the 80s.
Mm.
Yeah, it was not like a cool enough scene to want to get it. But yeah, it's wild. I can't imagine painting that. Like, that's where animation just blows my mind. I'm like, I can't imagine. It's like, oh, perfect. Now do 23 more of those and we have 1 second.
Corinne, thank you. You are the bomb.com. Thank you for this super chat. Again, everyone who's donating, thank you so very much. Keeps Art Prof free and accessible to everyone and helps us run this channel. So you guys rock.
Yeah, and like honestly, like this moment we're having of like the two of us doing this live paint along, like this is directly related to y'all's contributions. Like I wouldn't be able to have the setup that I do do this without you guys.
Yes. It's all thanks to you guys. We appreciate you.
What's that PBS thing? The viewers like you?
Viewers like you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Oh yeah, bird and birds. Your moment to shine.
Gargi is saying, I'm curious, would anyone here know about poster colors? We get them in India, and I don't know how they are different from gouache poster colors. Have you ever heard of that, Alex? I have not.
I've not in that term. I might be completely making this up. Are they like colors and paints used specifically for like billboards?
That's what it sounds like to me, but I'm not sure. Anyone in the comments knows things about poster colors, please chime in because now I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Chloe Zhao's face. She just looks like a really nice person.
Yeah.
Like a I'll nice, smart like person. Dara is saying, so now that Alex has a camera and a soothing voice, is he going to be the next Bob Ross? I think you are the next Bob Ross already.
No, Bob Ross is the perpetual Bob Ross. I'm at that point where it's like, there's a point in every painting when it just looks really bad. And here we are.
I think it looks awesome.
I thought you were going to say awful, like, and I was like, oh.
No, I paused because I looked at mine and I was like, yeah.
Yours
no.
Looks pretty good. Hat. Loving it.
To each their own. Everyone is a hater of their own work.
Truth.
We should write a song.
Sometimes it happens. I cannot remember why or when that started. Like I might have been doing it since I was a kid or something, but
I mean, it's a good way to keep you, like, your brain working. Simon Angelic is saying, that huge hat is awesome, DP. Thank you. When thinking about caricatures, I mean, it's cool to think about, like, the narrative behind the caricature, too. Like, what are you trying to express through the person? And I think that for directors, that, like, the iconic director hat that every director wears is kind of hilarious to me. So I wanted to emphasize her director hat because I think it's really cool that she's this like awesome female director who's nominated for an Oscar for this awesome female-led movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start singing too.
Honestly, it's infectious.
It is infectious.
That might be why I started. I was just painting one day and somebody next to me was all boop boop boopiting. And I just had to follow along.
It's a joyful curse that has been passed on to you, and now I. Art Prof is saying, there were other more glamorous photos of Chloe Zhao, but I like this photo because it really shows the director side more. Yeah, I love this photo. I mean, I think she looks wonderful and beautiful, and I really like that it seems like she's like on set or she is working, and that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make her eye, I think for all of these people, I want to make their eyes bigger. I've been making everyone's eyes really small. Even Riz's I made quite small. Why not just give everyone huge cartoonish eyes?
Yeah, why not take a crazy chance and... This is weird. It's like at that point where it's starting to slowly cobble together. But honestly, after like all this time and all these paintings, right in between that point when like I think it looks terrible, I'm never sure. Every time I'm like, oh, this is where it ends. This is it.
This is where I quit and go cry.
Yeah,
Jack is asking, is yours a caricature, Alex?
You know what? It will be soon. I think that a lot of the caricature I want to make is in these eyes coming up. So I want it to have almost more of like that realistic look than caricature look. And so once I get into like those really like juicy points of the eyes, making them all watery, I think that caricature part will really shine through. But for now, honestly, I'm still in like those underpainting-y parts.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about caricature is that it really doesn't have to be as like cartoonish as we think sometimes. Like it can just be about emphasizing like one element, you know?
I was tempted to do like the classic, you know, beachfront caricature, like him on a surfboard, holding a hot dog, you know, big baseball hat.
Have you ever gotten one of those done?
I haven't, but when I was a kid, I wanted to be one when I grew up. Not a caricature.
Be a caricature artist or like be a surfer eating a hot dog?
Oh. Yeah, well, I grew up in Arizona, so I didn't really know what a beach was. But I think from like 80s movies or something, I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. You hang out by the beach and you draw people as cartoons all day. That sounds like fun.
Jill is asking, has Deep D used gouache before? I have used gouache in college for projects that I was required to use gouache with. It's just expensive. I was like, what the heck? When I was using it, I was like, this is not, no. It's really fun to use. I love the opacity you can get with it. Like, it's such a fun, silky, thick medium. I would try it again. I just need to be given it. I can't go buy gouache without feeling sad afterwards.
True. I mean, that's very true. I kind of almost resent the idea of gouache ever being like an assignment in that way. Like, all right, guys, like today's homework is to spend over $100 on paint. I don't know if you'll like it. Like, and that just seems a little cold, you know?
Absolutely. Naftali's asking, for Deep D, has there been animations with mixed media in it? Absolutely. Tons of animation have mixed media in it. SpongeBob is actually a great example because they have live action, like, elements in, like, the hand sometimes picks out the sponge and he becomes, like, an actual sponge. But there are a lot of animations. If you look at the animation curriculum streams I've done, you'll see a ton of mixed media animations. But off the top of my head, there are these animators, Emily Hoffman and Ariel Noltimer Strauss, who do really cool stop motion animation with mixed media, like digital stop motion. Gosh, I'm like, my brain is not. It's like if people ask you and then you're like, no.
I would suggest looking at the animation curriculum streams you have, because I outlined so many cool animations. I do some animations with mixed media, you know? At me. Sometimes I'm like, who's a cool animator? And I'm like, oh.
It's like, oh, wait, I don't know.
I mean, technically all stop motion is kind of mixed media because they're using so many different kinds of media to create the film. Like, it's like clay and wire and the sets mm-hmm. are so all stop motion. But I'm trying to think of things that use like multiple kinds of animation.
Ooh, that's a good different. Yeah. I remember being really impressed by like the stop motions where the environment and the set was built out of real world objects, not like a small set to build, which is very satisfying, of course. But
there's a film that we put an example of in the self-taught curriculum animators part two last time that I had like just watched and we just put it on. It was a Vimeo staff pick and it was really cool because it was a live action film for all of it except for everyone's heads, which were stop motion animated, which was like such a trip. I can't remember the name of it right now, but if you watch the stream, you will know. You will know because it is there. Is Chicken Run mixed media?
Chicken Run?
Chicken Run is stop motion. It's claymation, but it might technically be mixed media because I don't know what the sets are made out of. So it might be like clay and another thing, but that is a stop motion animation, which I think in general, those are kind of like mixed media. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
Chicken Run is a fun movie.
That is, might be my favorite.
Favorite movie ever or just favorite stop motion movie?
Honestly, might be favorite movie ever.
Like, really?
Maybe. It's like it's never left my top. Wow. I'm always down to see it. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Amanda's saying, when I first used gouache, I only bought two colors, black and white. I used them to do grisaille studies. What is grisaille? Do you know?
I do not. Off the top of my head. Grisaille. Oh.
Added a few more later. I still have them. Cool. Let us know in the comment what that is. I'm very curious.
That's the way to do it. You buy a couple colors, you know, nothing to break the bank, and then they last for so dang long, you can just slowly add on.
What colors would you recommend someone buys off the bat?
I think off the bat, I'd recommend keeping it like, I want to limit myself to four. Let's say you can only get these four. I'd probably say Venetian red, Naples yellow, Prussian blue, and cobalt blue. So I don't know, you won't be able to do everything with those, but that's going to be enough to figure out what gouache is working with.
There you have it, folks. Oh, Art Prof is saying grisaille means black and white, usually referring to the other painting. Okay, cool. I did not know that. We learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm. That's it. We can go to sleep now.
Thanks for joining in, folks. Jill says grisaille.
Grisaille.
Gris is French for gray. Oh, grisaille. It's French. Grisaille.
It's a Chicken Run line. That's French.
Dara is asking, is Alex at the middle painting stage yet?
Yes. Finally got there. We are at the middle zone.
Sounds like we're traveling through time. We're like in the Middle Ages now.
Mm-hmm. Marty. Can't do a Doc Brown voice. But yeah, I think for Dara, the middle zone, I kind of differentiate it as like the middle zone is right after I pass that hump of, oh no, this looks terrible and it's never going to look good. And right when I get out of that danger zone, then I'm like, okay, now we just have to finish it.
Yeah, you're like too far in to quit.
Exactly. Spent too much time now. It would be easier to fix than to start over. That's the thing I was talking to like a customer at work the other day about, like with painting in general, is like, no, it's not like once you're like quote unquote good at painting, every painting is like relaxing. You're like, oh, I'll just close my eyes and do that painting thing I know how to do. It's like every single one is still a kind of journey, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Even like sometimes you also just feel off. Like I feel like I've been feeling off for the past few weeks and I'm just like kind of about like everything that I'm drawing.
Girl, truth. Preach.
Preach. And then sometimes you're just like whipping things out and it's like amazing.
Yeah. And then you nap for a week and then it's gone again.
Neil is asking Alex, what's the purpose of the underpainting?
I view it as kind of like a loose framework. Because especially you'll see now as I get more and more opaque, the question with gouache is, well, why didn't you just start with that? Which when I was first learning gouache, that was exactly my thinking. Like, oh, well, I'll just start with it at its most opaque. But when you do that, it just kind of goes all over the place. So it's like I'm really just sketching over and over and over again.
Natalia's saying, I'm surprised by Alex's paint speed. Same, honestly, same. I would be like so much slower if I were you. But also, this is like a good example of like what practice can do. Like, you know, this is your medium.
Yeah, and it feels so fun to like I haven't painted all day. I've just been running around doing other stuff. So a lot of it too feels so good of like, this is what I've wanted to do all day. And now I finally get to. So I'm kind of just like kid in a candy shop, bowl in the China house kind of thing.
Garvey is saying, yes, I am like shocked at how effortless and quick Alex appears to be. A response from Alex?
I should put that on my business card. Effortless and quick.
Testimonial says effortless and quick.
I can guarantee I will put minimal effort and it will be quick.
I mean, that's great for you if you can do minimal effort and it's quick.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Done and done.
I'm curious, AJ is saying, Alex, how do you deal with spilling water over gouache paintings? Because I did that about a week ago and some of my opaque spots went back to being translucent.
Yep, that'll do it. It's really funny. Like, that's why I was talking to someone in an artist call a couple weeks ago. Time is weird. About how to best protect gouache when you're done with the paintings. And best way, honestly, put them behind glass. Because you can have a gouache painting for 50 years, and then you can still go back to it, dump water on your brush, and rework it. Like, it will never dry enough where it won't be able to be rehydrated. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. It's time for me to break in another paint color.
Vosh is saying, well, deep to be using color or just doing liner? At the moment, I'm just doing liner because I'm trying to really focus on the exaggeration of features. But maybe I will add some color in later. I'm using color for my pencil strokes. Maybe this one because I really like Daniel Kaluuya's face, like such an interesting, beautiful face. I think I want to spend a little bit more time on this one too. So perhaps I will use some color. Would you like me to? If you want me to, I will.
Oh boy. Dang, dude. Every time cadmium yellow, you put it on, I'm like, holy crickets. That's what the cadmium yellow is there for. It's one of those colors that, like, nothing else can replicate that. I guess you could say that about every color, but, you know.
Gargi is saying, do we know if Alex pre-mixes colors before the stream or is mixing as he goes along?
A little bit of both. Actually, let me show you the mess that is my palette. There's a little bit of lag. Yeah. So I have the colors that I mix here, but then I also have, since you don't need to clean your palette, I have areas of it with pre-mixed areas and colors already set and ready to go. There's this one, which is like my black substitute, which is just a mixture of different blues and reds to make like a kind of rich dark purple. And I have just a big glob of that already mixed.
Why do you use a black substitute and not just black out of the tube?
I think using black out of the tube is, a lot of times I find it can like kill the color. Like it just kind of kills the vibe in the piece. It just seems to not fit. Whereas if I have a mixed black, I can adjust that accordingly to make it either warmer or cooler.
Kills the vibe. Jackie says, sketching over and over doesn't crack. Is that addressing you or me? I think my brain isn't working right now.
I think it's referring to like when I was saying that gouache can crack if you make it too thick.
Oh,
that's
I see.
Exactly why my first layers I made very thin. Because, yeah, like those early layers are definitely, that's, I'm not whipping out the thick wash yet. I keep wanting to make his eyes bigger and bigger.
I feel like this is a great stream to show how, like, warming up is essential, too. Like, I feel so much more like I know what I'm doing now that I'm on this third caricature. Oh, I'm like moving so much faster, and I'm like, oh, okay, yes, Deep D, you can art after all. The first few, I was like, what am I doing?
Oh no, here I am, live on stream, fraud.
Oh my gosh, I've crossed that bridge already. Like everyone knows, they know the truth. Chell is asking, Alex, what type of brush would you recommend for gouache?
Ooh-hoo. I pretty much just use flat and round in varying thicknesses depending on the size. Like my biggest boy is like this bad boy. And then teeny tiny boy is over here. But I honestly, like, as far as like brush recommendations go, I would recommend not getting a brush smaller than size 2 for a long time. But that is, if you're anything like me and I wanted to use nothing but small brushes for forever, and I found that eventually it really inhibited my growth with the medium. So I'm all about like making things to limit your bad habits so that they don't become bad habits.
For Alex, what do you think of gouache for collage? I know Matisse used gouache for his collage.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great medium for it because it can be opaque, and then you can also use it as a kind of adhesive. Sometimes, like depending on how you want to apply it to the collage. It's something where like just collage in general has never been like my I don't want to say cup of tea because that sounds like I don't like it. It's never been my history with art making. Let's put it that way. I don't have a lot of experience with it. But yeah, I think gouache is so much better suited because of its ability to be flexible with its transparency.
Can I use a palette knife with gouache? Neil is asking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure can. I don't often, because they just, I think, let's put it this way, you can, but it does use a lot of the medium. And it's not quite as flexible as, say, using a palette knife with oil.
You're right on the money.
It's so good.
Thank you so much, Meisuko, for the super chat. It is so appreciated. And thank you for saying that we're helping out, because that's what we like to hear. Mm-hmm. My mom is currently texting me, telling me that we're both doing a great job. So I just wanted to relay that to you, Alex.
Thanks.
Beeb is saying, yeah, I love the eyes are different sizes and deep dees. It adds a feeling and perspective. Thank you. Yeah, I'm wondering if I should actually make this one much smaller. Why not? I'm going to do it. Just really exaggerate that, like, perspective and the choice to do that in a caricature. Like, what does that do? Ooh, that's maybe not what I want, actually. The wonders of digital media. Dara is saying, what's Alex's process now? Adding and subtracting dabs in no apparent order?
Yeah, pretty much now when I'm in the middle point, this is when I'm making those final choices about the various sketches that were underneath. So I'm kind of, I guess the one way to put it is like I'm kind of feeling around at this point for what feels right and what feels complete. And then once I'm hitting those, I have to make sure to jump around as I go, because I, again, like working with, I think a lot of learning how to paint is learning the bad habits you have. And one of mine is I'm a noodler, where if I left myself to my own devices, I would just noodle away at one spot the entire time. So I have to really intentionally like kind of hop around so I don't do that. Actually, Deepti, I have a question for you about just working with procreate, like, versus traditional media? Do you ever get, I don't know, bogged down by the possibility of, like, changing it so dramatically at any given point? I guess, like, for me, I'm looking at it now and I'm kind of wishing I did certain things differently in the early stages. For you being working in different layers, and you can be like, oh, let's just whoop, change that layer. Let's make it a different color.
Yeah, I think, I mean, earlier on with Daniel Kaluuya's portrait, I was like, oh, I don't love the color that I'm using. So I just chose a different color. Sorry, I don't know if I cut out just then. Did you hear what I said?
I did, yeah.
Okay, because I was like, I couldn't see you. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? But yeah, I just chose a different color and I changed the whole thing, like in the snap of a finger. But it's not as easy in traditional media. So it does kind of open up a lot of possibilities. And I like that Procreate feels similar to traditional media in a sense. But yeah, I don't know. Digital media is kind of amazing. And once you get around like learning how to use it, it's like, wow, I've been missing this. 3D is saying, is there a way to bring back dry gouache that's stuck in the tube?
I am really glad you asked this question tonight, because short answer, no. So this was my tube of Van Dyke Brown that I had. In all my years, I've never screwed the top on not tight enough. But I found out what it was, is there was a crack in the bottom of the tube there. So all I had to do was cut it open at the bottom and squeeze it out like a tootsie roll. But yeah, so unfortunately, there's no way to salvage it. But as the thing with gouache, it's constantly rehydratable. So even though that tube is really just a crusty tootsie roll, I'm also going to wrap it up in some like cling wrap and just keep it. Yeah, it's not going to be as graceful as squirting out some fresh paint from the tube, but it still works.
There you have it, folks.
It still works. Darn thing works.
The darn thing still works. Neftali's asking me, what does independent animator mean? When I say independent animator, I guess I mean someone who's not affiliated with a studio or an agency. For example, when you graduate or you become an animator, you can go freelance where you're working for agencies or companies, but you're making like the work on your own terms, like you're a gig worker. So that's like one kind of independent animator, but they still are working on like larger projects. But then there are also independent animators who make self-funded films and self-funded, you know, a variety of different things. So it's kind of just like if you're affiliated with like a studio and you're working full time, like if you're working at Pixar or DreamWorks, but an independent animator would be someone who, probably like freelances is the easiest way of saying it. You're not affiliated with like a larger studio that's employing you. You're kind of like seeking out your own work. And a lot of times those people are actually making their completely own work that you see at film festivals and stuff and fund that in a variety of different ways, like Kickstarter, or they're given a grant from someone or some institution. Yeah, it's very cool. So like I, for example, am an independent animator. I like work gig to gig. I make my own work and I'm not really affiliated with anyone other than me, myself, and I. So it's a little bit harder because it's like I'm constantly looking for new work and commissions and like I'm like, please email me, hire me. But it's also nice because I can make my own schedule and pick the projects I want to do and yada, yada. Maria is saying, for Deep D, when the universe is kind and gives you time to relax, would you use the iPad to draw and sketch or have fun, or would you go traditional? That's a great question. Recently, I've actually been using the iPad because I want to learn it better. So I use it to draw and sketch for sure. I'm trying to get better at my digital skills. So I think it's a wonderful way to like still make work that I enjoy while learning, you know, Procreate better. But I also really like being outdoors when I'm sketching. And because I live in New York, I'm constantly scared of being robbed. So I don't want to, like, I just, you know, I don't want to be like out with my iPad. So I would just take like a notebook and a pencil. So it's kind of like, you know, where I am. Actually, I've taken my iPad out. That's like a weird thing to say, but like, you know, you want to be smart about like, oh, if I'm just like walking around and drawing on like a street corner, do I want to be walking around with my iPad? I don't. It's also heavier than a notepad and like a pen. So.
That's the stuff. I've been looking for that color the whole time.
Actually, when I moved to New York, one of the first things that happened to me was my phone was stolen.
Oh, crumbs.
Right out of my hands.
No, crumbs? Like, really?
Yeah. It was because I was an idiot. That's why I never leave the house with like any of my valuables. But I was just like walking around looking at my phone, and I think I was like very clearly not a New Yorker and like very just like la-di-da, and then someone just grabbed my phone and ran away.
It's a miracle that I've not been pickpocketed when I visit New York, because I am the most touristy tourist to ever tourist. I'm like looking up at all the tall buildings like, wow, isn't that amazing, huh? Y'all see the Empire State Building? Look at this. I'm blown away every time.
Isabella is saying, Alex, in the future, would you consider showing the palette for art-alongs? I would love to see the mixing of the paint.
Ooh, yeah, actually, that's something that Clara and I were talking a lot about for this stream. We decided against it for this one so that we could show more of the painting. But I mean, like, yeah, as I've shown, palettes are all just down right here. So it would just be a matter of doing a little bit of zoom out and displaying it. Let's bring back the big boys and more washers.
Gargi is saying, what would be a helpful beginner palette for gouache? I know you kind of touched upon like this a few minutes ago, but would you mind repeating?
No, not a bit. And I think those four colors, Naples yellow, Venetian red, Prussian blue, and cobalt blue, those are just like those minimum four colors. So it's Naples yellow, Venetian red, Prussian blue, and cobalt blue. And then I'd add on to that burnt sienna and raw sienna, Van Dyke brown, and let's go with permanent rose and alizarin crimson. So I think, yeah, all those guys together. Let's see here. A point where I wish I was kind of hit a couple roadblocks, which are always fun surprises.
Oh, I haven't looked at yours in a while. I love how intense his eyes are.
I've kept making them bigger and bigger and bigger, which is part of why I'm not as far as long as I was hoping to be.
I also love how he has the classic Alex Rowe red nose.
Oh, you've got to.
You gotta have it. It's your signature.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel right without it.
What type of palette do you use? Alex asks Neftali.
Oh, I use the second cheapest plastic palette I can find. Like, I want something that's like sturdy. but also like it goes through the ringer. I was gifted one of those ceramic palettes by my old roommate, and it was nice. It was fine, but it was honestly like a little cumbersome, and the cost didn't really make it worth the investment if I were to get it on my own.
Yeah, sometimes the like simplest things are the best ones.
Yeah. I do still.
Alex, what do you think about using a Payne's Gray as a blue substitute to make a more muted palette?
Payne's Gray is wonderful. I love that color. That's a color that's a wonderful addition for shadows. Because yeah, like you said, you're set like perfectly with the muted, where it's not like a punching color that impacts things. It's really good to add that layer of darkness to colors you have.
Thank you so much, Christine, for the super sticker.
Aww.
We love you guys.
That's good.
I'm really not happy with Daniel's mouth. Fab Geek is saying, I didn't realize gouache was so rich in color. Thank you for painting along in gouache.
Oh, dude, thanks, dude. Yeah, I love hearing people excited to try gouache. Because it gets such a bad rep.
That's how I feel about animation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, everyone thinks it's so hard. It's not hard. You can do it, I promise. Alex, for you, what are the advantages of gouache over watercolor? Asks Johnny.
I think the previous comment of showing the like vibrancy of it, that's the advantage gouache has. Is watercolor, to me, it's you have to do so many layers to get that vibrancy, whereas gouache you can just like, and then it's all gooped out. I like how you can get really punchy really quick. Wait.
Great noise effects. Miranda, thank you so much for the super sticker. Again, your donations are all keeping us funded and keeping Art Prof free and making it so that we can generate content like this and stream every day for you guys. So thank you. Big hearts. Certainly is saying, Deepti is so good at hats. Maybe she should have a second career as a hat designer. Maybe. I'll take any career, honestly. I think at this point I have like 7 different careers I'm pursuing.
Yeah, you can have this one.
But if anyone wants me to design them a custom hat, let me know. Happy to do it.
I want that big director's hat.
I kind of like Daniel Kaluuya's hat right now. I don't know what actually this movie is or what he plays, but he looks very cool and official and like, maybe he's like a soldier or something. Seven Angelic is saying, Deepti's drawing shows so much personality. Thank you. I feel good. The first few drawings I was kind of like meh about, but I really like this one. I think I'm quite happy with it. This is like the power of persistence, you know? You like, I would have quit probably if I wasn't on this stream, like after my Riz one, because I was like, ugh, I'm not in it, I'm not feeling it. But
dude,
you guys motivated me. if you guys are drawing along. I'm really curious who has been drawing along, and have you been doing quicker ones like me and Alec, or me, or have you been doing like longer studies like how Alex is doing? Miranda's asking how to mix watercolor and gouache. Gouache over watercolor?
Ooh, yeah, yes. Always yes. Because gouache gets so much thicker than watercolor, putting watercolor on top of gouache just kind of, it's not that it doesn't work, it just doesn't do much. It just kind of goops. It's not going to like catch fire or anything, but.
Can you imagine? That would be
crazy. That would be so weird. I'm worried I'm going to paint him with Steve Buscemi eyes.
My Daniel kind of has Steve Buscemi eyes. Steve Buscemi would be someone that would be really fun to do a caricature of because he says such a good thing. Christine is saying, Alex, are you using colored pencil or watercolor pencil?
Ooh, I'm just using watercolor brushes.
No pencils?
No pencils. Well, I did the pencil, just a plain old regular pencil for that underpainting. Or by underpainting, I mean drawing? Underdrawing?
AJ is saying, I was informed somehow that you can mix watercolor and acrylic, but I have no clue. Probably not.
You can. You just essentially put watercolor first and then acrylic over it. It actually is a pretty good combination of mediums because you can really make a lot of depth and space that way because the watercolor is so light.
We have so many people interested in gouache. I love how informative this is for everyone involved. That rocks. I feel like I'm learning stuff too.
I'm so excited to play around with Procreate. Like the first time I picked it up, I was like, this feels so strange in my hand.
Yes, I felt the same exact way, but now that I think I'm like getting it a little bit more, it feels more and more natural. I think doing these streams and having Jordan and Kat help me out has been like lovely. So I'm just going in now to my Daniel piece and adding in a few like darker elements. Oh, Neftali's saying, is watercolor brushes more suitable for gouache, but it's thick though?
Yes. You use the same brushes you would for watercolor as you do for gouache. And that's not so much about what they can carry. You can use a watercolor brush just fine for acrylic paint, but the acrylic medium is really going to destroy the brush before too long. Like acrylic brushes are just harder and they can handle it better. Because gouache, even though it's water soluble, it just the softer brushes work really well for it.
Synthetic or not?
I think if you can splurge on not synthetic, go for it. But I don't think the difference is the kind of thing that's noticeable at the start. Like, I'll compare it to, I've never played the guitar, I don't know how to do it, but there's a friend of mine who does, and he says that when he started, he didn't care what kind of guitar pick he was using, but now he is very sensitive about what kind of guitar pick he plays with. So I'd say if you're just picking up gouache, it really doesn't matter which brush you're using.
Christine is saying, Alex, do you have a go-to economy gouache? I don't want to spend all my money on Winsor & Newton for my gouache sketches.
Oh, I spend all my money on Winsor & Newton. I think, honestly, it's one where it's not that I don't think there are better gouache. It's not that I don't think there are other good gouache brands out there. It's just that Winsor & Newton has been so wonderful for me, I found no reason to explore. And as far as like cheaper sets, like for just sketching with gouache, a lot of the Series 1s are under $5. So if you just have a limited palette, you can get a pretty solid set of colors for $15 if you keep it minimum.
Awesome. Well, everybody, I just want to let you know to join us in the ArtProf Discord in the hashtag Artalongs channel. The Discord invite link is in the YouTube description below. Alex and I will be in the Discord in about 5-10 minutes, and we'll talk more about gouache and the stream, and you guys can ask us all your questions over there. Please remember to subscribe to the ArtProf YouTube channel, and I just wanted to give a huge shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. Thank you so much for supporting us. We also have a second page now of our Patreon supporters, and it's growing. How exciting! All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining in. This is Alex's first draw along. So exciting! Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. Have a great day, everyone.